that identify with the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam is not the same, and it will never be the same again. What I did was bring to the people the importance of the Quran for Farad, for Mr. Farad, and all of Elijah Muhammad, and that book had purposely been held back from us. And now that all of Elijah Muhammad had gone, this is the time to bring that book close to us and to follow the only authority that's left. I said, all of Elijah Muhammad is gone. He's not here as an authority anymore. So the only authority we got left is the book that he respected and taught us to respect, the Quran. So that's where we began. And we began there, and God blessed us to read the Quran as free souls, to read it independent of anybody else's view of it, prejudicing our view or influencing the way we see it. So we read it independently. I read it independently. And I encourage others to follow me in an independent reading of the Quran. It was God's mercy on us. And the believers, they begin to feel more and more comfortable with it. Today I can say that I feel very comfortable with our community, with the Muslim community, throughout these United States. We are comfortable with real Islam. We are comfortable identifying with all Muslims, 1 billion or more of us now on earth, throughout the world, in Asia and Europe and Africa and the islands, in America, everywhere there are Muslims, we identify with Muslims. We are Muslims with all Muslims. And all Muslims have the same book called the Quran, the book revealed to Muhammad, the Prophet of Arabia, 14 centuries ago. So we all have the same book, and we are very comfortable there. And now we see that God has made us a very different African American. We are not like most African Americans. We love our African American Christian brothers, but we are quite different, especially in the way we think. Our thinking is quite differently. We have been disciplined. We have been starved. We've been isolated. We've been locked up in jail houses. I'm talking about by Farad, not by the policeman. Farad locked us up in jail houses. And he detained us and detained us and detained us. And finally we broke free. We broke free. And we are special people for God. Special people for God. Believe me, we are very special people for God. We have starved for what? Wholeness. Wholeness. When we were taken from Africa and brought to these shores and didn't know ancestors, didn't know ancestor life or culture or anything, we were straining in America to find wholeness again. We had been fragmented. We had been fragmented. A piece of us there and a piece of us here, fragmented. Straining for wholeness. And then the white world didn't give us enough to make us feel whole, still straining for wholeness. Farad came and put a big myth on us, a big question mark in our minds, and we're still straining for wholeness. Finally, we come out and we say, hey, we are supposed to be the man that Allah made when he said, I'm going to make a man in the earth, a khalifa in the earth, and I'm going to give him responsibility. So we are supposed to be responsible creatures under God. So we begin to accept that we are responsible under God. Not under America, firstly, but under God, firstly. We are responsible for our life and for our families and for our future on this earth. We are responsible to have community life. We are responsible to have Muslim neighborhoods. Muslim neighborhoods with Muslims next door. With Muslim businesses supplying the neighborhood. With Muslim services supplying the neighborhood. We are supposed to be created on this earth to accept responsibility for community. And God tells all Muslims that your life is life in community. The life of a Muslim is the life of the community. Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of communities, evolved, or raised up for all people. We are not to be just a community for Muslims. We are supposed to be communities living such an excellent human life that our community model is a model that all people will look at and admire and appreciate and have benefit from. Now, if that's not a marvelous thing, a small miracle, you have to tell me what a miracle is. Thank you very much, and may God grant us peace and guidance always. Ameen.
Imam Muhammad would be pleased to answer questions for about a 15-minute discussion period, so please, if you'd like to ask one, stand up and speak loud and clear.
What's learned here is confirmed at other sites around the world by studying another part of the tree, its pollen. Owen Davis at the University of Arizona, Tucson, and Dorothy
Fatima. Can you come close so I can come down here so I can hear you, please? Yeah, if you just come here, you can come up here with me. Because that way everybody can hear the question. Come, please.
Yes, sir. Walaikum Asalaam. And brother.
I want you to explain to the audience the Muslim understanding of Allah, because me being in Mississippi, we have brothers still teach that we are Allah and that He's black.
All right. Thank you. That's very important. Very important for us to be on record saying it as it is. Yes. Allah Most High says in the Quran that He is the creator of everything. Al-Khaliqu kulli shay, that God is the creator of everything. And He also says, Laysa kamithlihi shay, that there is nothing anywhere that looks like God. Nothing. There's nothing existing anywhere that looks like God. Laysa kamithlihi shay. And He also says, La takrikahu al-absar, our eyes cannot see God. Moses wanted to see God in the Quran. And God told him, say, look to the mountain. And if the mountains remain as you see it, you will see me. Moses looked to the mountain, and the mountain crumbled before him. And he swooned. Moses passed out. So the mountain didn't stay. So that means Moses didn't see God. But the Bible says that Moses saw God face to face as a man speaking with his friend. And that's not to say that that's wrong, but Moses did not see God with these eyes as an object, as a concrete object like that. And to show you how much this is forbidden in the Quran, say, and there were people among the Jews who asked Moses, show us God in body, walking in the market like we are. So we want to see God. You say He has a God? Let us see God like we see ourselves. So God caused a terrible thing to happen to them. A great trouble and tragedy came upon them because of them asking that ridiculous and outrageous thing of God. So this is the Quran. The Quran puts it that way. Now, the Quran also says of God, Lam yalid wa lam yulid. Never was God giving birth to a son. Well, how does God have a human beings then from nothing? The answer is there in the Quran. It says, whenever He wants one, He creates one from those that He already created. That's what God. So God creates, not that's to take any idea that God is having a wife like we have a wife, you know. That's to get rid of that kind of idea. No, the something is told in allegory or in myth, and mystified that we don't understand. So the Quran comes to clear that. And no man is God, is Allah. Only Allah is Allah. Once a brother told me, he said, the black man is God. I said, how can you think that, and you don't have a job. You're out of job. I said, and you worried about your life. I said, you don't know how you're going to survive tonight. I said, how can you say you're God? So these are ridiculous, you know, just ridiculous. No man have ever said he was Allah, a God, and believed it. Maybe he wanted somebody else to believe it, but believe me, no man has ever said he was Allah, a God, and believed it. Man know, unless he was totally insane. And even then, I don't think he believed it. He's just crazy enough to say it. Yes. I hope everybody can hear you there. Make my salam. I wish all of you would come here. I know it's difficult. I don't want to pull you out between the chairs, but it would help if you would come up here and use the mic.
Since we're here in the Bible Belt, there's a big mysticism about Jesus. There's a lot of people that don't know our religion thinks that we don't believe in Jesus. So would you explain the Islamic belief about Jesus?
Yes. And first of all, Jesus is a mystery. And he will be a mystery until the judgment day. That's what we believe. So we believe that. We believe in the mystery of Jesus Christ. We believe also that Jesus Christ is a sign. That Jesus Christ, in the way we see him, points to something else. A sign is something that points you to something else, or refers you to something else, or connects you with something else. So we believe also that Jesus is a sign, and that his mother is a sign. Peace be upon them both. And we also believe that Jesus is a word from God. A word from God. And we also believe that Jesus is Ruh, spirit from God. Spirit from God. Ruh from God. Spirit from God. And this is what Christianity accepts. And we also believe that God revealed to Mary that she was going to have a child. And she said, peace be upon her, how can I have a child and no mortal person has touched me? And God told her, nevertheless, it shall be. And she became pregnant with a child, and she gave birth to Jesus. Peace be upon him. That's our belief. But he is not God. He is the creation of God and not God. And he's not the son of God. In Islam, he's not the son of God. In Islam, God has no sons and no daughters. No wife, no sons, no daughters. In Islam, God only have dependents. As we have dependents, we declare them when we make our tax return. God has dependents, and the dependents of God are dear to him than our children are to us. God is the most loving, most kind of all that exists, and God is better as a parent than any parent.
All right.
Yeah, help me, because I'm...
This sister here first, and then you, sister. Okay. Would you come up, please? Okay, yeah. Y'all come this way. Time is running out. Okay. Another 5 minutes.
Yes.
Another 5 minutes. Okay, sister. And you, brother.
All right.
Come on.
Okay, my question, it's not a question. I want you to explain to the audience the role of the female and how we're not oppressed and how Allah made us equal to the men, so on and so forth.
Yes, okay. Good question. Yes, we do have problems for justice. To the females, and also justice to the poor, justice to certain minorities, certain people of color, there's still a problem in the world for justice, in the Muslim world for justice. But this is not to be charged to the religion, it's to be charged to the interpretation by people who are affected more by their cultural life than they are by their spiritual life or their religious life. So the whole Muslim world is having to now study the Quran again, all over, rethink everything that we've done. And we're rethinking the position of woman in Muslim society, and a lot of our better minds, scholarly people in Islam, they are taking the position that I'm going to give you right now. And the position is this, that God made male and female from one single thing, or one single entity, male and female, from one single entity. And that they both have the same intellect, same soul, and the same intellect, the same emotionality, same soul, same intellect. And they both can receive the Spirit of God. You know, I just mentioned earlier that Christ Jesus was given the Spirit of God, peace be upon him. They both can receive the Spirit of God, because Allah says, God revealed to the mother Moses, and God revealed to Jesus' mother, Maryam, peace be upon them. So we both have same soul, can receive the Spirit of God, have something of the Spirit of God in us all the time, and we have the same intellect, and the Prophet obligated the society to see that it take care of the needs, the neglected needs of women, and make possible for them to have good chance to compete with men in education. He gave an incentive to men. He said, if any man will educate two daughters, God will give him the paradise. And we know that in Islam, the main instrument for liberating society from all forms of slavery is education. Correct knowledge, correct education, quality education will liberate people from all kinds of slavery. There's no kind of slavery that you can't be freed from if you get correct education, correct knowledge. It's education that really liberates us. Once we have proper education, we can't accept to be a slave for anybody. Yes.
I would like to ask your opinion. I know this is America and we're in a capitalist society, but we have a lot of Muslims that are coming from overseas, setting up shop in our communities, and they're practicing Muslims, but they're selling pork and liquor and cigarettes, all of the things that we're against. What's your opinion of that?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. We are aware of that, but let me acknowledge something here that most of us are not aware of. Some of the people who come from places like Lebanon and speak Arabic, they're Arabs. The fact that a person is an Arab does not necessarily mean that person is a Muslim. There have been Arabs who have never accepted Islam. A few Arabs were Christians and they stayed Christian. They never changed. We have to be aware that the word for God in Arabic is Allah. So Christians who speak Arabic, who are Arabs and speak Arabic, if you ask them who is God, they say Allah. And their greeting is also Salaam Alaikum. Just like Muslim greet. So you might not be looking at a Muslim. You might be looking at an Arab Christian. It could be. An Arab Christian can sell pork. It can sell liquors. They don't think it's just like they do here. They're like American Christians, you know? All right. So that's one thing we should be aware of. Now, we also are aware that those who were raised up Muslims in their lands, They come over here and they open these businesses and they sell liquors, they sell pork, and they behave just like thugs. They disrespect people. They're bad, bad people calling themselves Muslims. We're aware of that. Now, you know, Hitler claimed he was a Christian, didn't he? And I think that's one of the worst guys that we ever have had on this planet Earth. But should that turn the Christian off from his religion because Hitler said he was Christian? And look at the Klan. The Klan claims Christianity. But look what the KKK have done to us and to this country. So don't let any bad guy in your name hurt your faith. Let that be a strength. Just say, thank God that I'm not like that. And I know what a Muslim is. Yes. See, I know what a Muslim is, and I thank God that I'm not like that guy who claims he's a Muslim. I don't want to waste my time on people like that. There are too many people around here that are struggling to find their way, and they're sincere. They want to be better people. Justice is that we help people that are sincere first. And after we help all these good people, then we look at these no good people and say, okay, we got some time to work on you a little bit, buddy. If no more questions, we're going to call it a night. Oh, one more. Brett?
Okay. Well, he acknowledged her before he did. I mean, we both stood up about the same time, and the question that she came up and asked you really cleared up. It was on the same wavelength that I was thinking on. That was concerning when we said, he Allah, we noticed our women, they, would you explain that part? In English, we said, he Allah.
That's
but
right.
You don't say that in Arabic. And the women, they get a bad chemistry when we say that. If you would explain that, can I?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. You know, God reveals to us in our language. God doesn't reveal something to us in a different language. So our language has the problems, not God. And, you know, in our language, we think of he as being more responsible than she. So the world is in the hands of he, of him, more than it is in the hands of her. So we think this way. So God reveals, God would cheapen the language referring to him, and he would cheapen himself if he referred to himself as a she or something. In your own mind, that she did this and she did that, it would just cause a lot of confusion. And he in Arabic does not necessarily mean a man. That's what the brother was referring to, I think. Arabic language, he, there's no feminine, masculine, neuter gender, in Arabic. There's only masculine and feminine. So we don't have she, he, and it in Arabic. We only have she and he. No she, he, and it. So actually, he can also mean it. Can also mean it. He can also mean it. Hua goes for he, and hua goes for it. Hiya means she, but hiya goes for she, and hiya also goes for it. You know, in God, in Islam, God is one, isn't he? We know that. God stresses that so strongly. But God also says, speaking of himself in the first person, God said, and we did this, and we did that. Now, some might say, well, God is a plurality then. God is not one. He's a plurality. No. When I speak, if I want to show respect and not get big-headed, if I want to show respect and give credit to those who helped me, I won't be saying, I. I say, we. This is respect. And a king, when a king says we, he means he speaks for his nation. He speaks for his kingdom. when he says we. And when God says we, he means he speaks for his angels. He speaks for his messengers, his prophets. He speaks for his creation. He says we. He's the only one that can speak for all of it. So God, when he says we, he's showing the recognition that others have helped God, others serving God in this. And we did this for you, and we did that for you. God is the boss. God that created everything. But God also has your mother to serve you, serve your needs when you're a child. And God has other forces working in creation and angels to help man. So God recognizes them when he says we. So this plural term in Arabic is just a term that gives that speaker great power and shows that that speaker has great power. Great power. That speaker says we. Great power, great authority over many. That speaker says we. That's the expression that kings use. Kings use such expression. And presidents and people in higher authorities. The president of the United States, he says I more than he should. But if you listen, he doesn't. Sometimes he won't say I, he'll say we. And that's more becoming of a leader in authority who have others in authority working with him. It's more becoming of him to say we. So understand that these expressions are there because of shared authority, but not because God need anyone to share authority. It is God's kindness and God's mercy and God's love for his creatures that he gives them a chance to share in the authority. Because he says he needs nothing from anything that he has created. This is what God says in our holy book. He needs nothing from anything that he created. He exists alone, needing no sustenance, needing nothing from anything that he has created. But his including us is his love for us, shows us that he loves us, and he wants us to have credit and earn credit and feel good about ourselves. And let me tell you something. Since I woke up and realized that I can be in the employment of God, that I am an employee of God, I'm telling you, I felt so great as an employee. Yes. I don't want to work for anybody else. I'll work for you only if I'm working in that office as the employee of God. Then I can sweep your floors. I could even change your baby diapers. Give me your baby. I'll wash their fannies and change their diapers and rinse their diapers out and everything. Only if I can do that as an employee of God. Because that's my high station. Servant of God. Praise be to Allah. Yes, and that's how all of us should feel. All of us should feel the same way. You see? And if all of us do our jobs like that, realizing that God made everything possible, and nothing could happen if God hadn't created this human computer, this thing up here, the computer, the human computer, none of this would be possible for us that we marvel over as human ability. It couldn't be possible for us if God hadn't created this wonderful intellect, this wonderful computer up here. And he has a pattern on it. It's his. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.